morning.
Shabbat shalom.
Leah Esther.
How are you, Leah Esther?
Doing well. Baruch Hashem.
We're going to wait for, we still have a couple of minutes before the time is right. And then we'll wait until another person comes on.
Okay. Connie.
Shavua Tov, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I am great.
Glad to hear it.
I'm always great.
I know. I forgot to mention to you, Connie, about saying hello to Diana Fora.
Hi. You were saying?
I was saying I forgot to mention to you when you sent me that email about a month ago that you'd seen Diane. So.
Oh, Marcia Diane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please give her my regards when you see her.
I will. And did you find out anything about now there's a 1 cent per minute charge to use this phone line? You don't know anything about it, right?
I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, it's coming
from your... It's no biggie, but just wondering.
Yeah, it's coming from your cell phone provider, and not all of them are doing it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the information.
Hannah.
Shavua Tov, good morning.
Shavua Tov.
So, please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa. Gedula Chimita. Da. I've had some of the students express that they would like not to have many people speak at the Ana Bekoa because they're hearing it with a delay or something. So with all of that, please mute your phones. And we're going to start over, but first I'm going to say Baruch Shem Kuvod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Ana Bekoa Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The letters of the month of Tibet. the belt that created the planet Shaptai, the planet Saturn, and the iron that created the constellation Gedi, the goat, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the iron and the bet have a gematria of 72, which connects us to the Sephirah of Chochmah, wisdom. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tacharenu dora. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrin Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchen Tacharem Rachamei Sitkacha Tamid Gamrin Betetresh Tzadi Tav Gimel Tassin Kadosh Erov Tucha Na'el Adatecha Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziyakatenu, Yodea Ta'alumot. Shem Kufav. So. Sadi Yud. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, between the positive and the negative aspects of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet Notze Chesed L'Alafim Notze Aon V'Chesha V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We're now going to read the verses from the Tanakh that connect us to the energies of the various years and the energies of these verses. The first year is current year of the goat, 5777. And we're going to read two verses. The first is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod Saduni Katzipor, O Yavai Sinam. When we take the first letters of this verse, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words. Datz ki ach, which means, translates as appear like brothers. And the final letters of these, of this verse, can be permutated into two Hebrew words. Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat. I'm getting some static, so I'd appreciate it if you mute your phones by pressing star 6. This verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And it has the name of the year embedded within it, separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadavaku Kasher Asitem Ad hayom hazeh. In the year 5776, there are also two verses. The year 5776 is the year of the pause. The first of the two verses is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kilot Hamlacha V'ad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Leval Leitkadesh Me HaKohanim. This verse has 25 words, and we're able to permutate it, the first letters of each word, into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe, La La He, Wa Wa Wa, Yo La Yo Ala Me, Hey Hey Hey, Aka A, Re Ka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Yitru Ba Adonai, Yohe wahe ade ad kibia yohe Adonai yohe wahe tzur olami. Job chapter 7 verse 19 is the first of three verses that connect to the year of 5775, the year that death was potentially swallowed forever. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 23. Uru udu mikol amachavo iya asher yidcha beisham ushavtem Eli El Nachum, Wehalachti Item, Wehayim Yeshno, Varets Vehipasti, O Tau Bekol Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse connecting to 5775 is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo Lanetzach. Yoved Roav Yomru Ayo. The verse that one verse that connects to the year 5774, the energy is peace in the Middle East, is 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wasamti Makom Leamil Israel Untati v'shakan, tachta v'lo yirgaz, od v'lo yosifu, p'nei avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, coming from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. The energy of this Pasuk is that of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha berichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu l'yachta l'shem yud he bevav he b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Taneinan Bekudsha Barichu Kol Ma Deaved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot will but die. Peep shout for late lach me la be all ma divide. Parnash ledach ya. Leia mineya. Ulan haga beya. Kilana de hakulu. Ovada dik shout. Inun kovikola. It's the rich be alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 10th of Tevet, which is historically, the sages have told us, this was the day that the walls of Jerusalem were pierced by Nebuchadnezzar's armies, and also when the Romans sacked Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem were pierced at the same day, the 10th of Tevet. And there are two prophets that chose to leave on this day. One is Zechariah ben Barachya ben Ido Hanavi. Zechariah comes from three generations of prophets. And it's a good day to study the prophecies of Zechariah, which relate to the coming of Mashiach. Many of them do. Malachi Hanavi, the prophet Malachi, and his death ended prophecy. He was the last of the prophets, and it's a good day to study his prophecies as well. Other Tzaddikim that left this day, Rabbi Yehuda Eilenberg, Rabbi Nosson Sternhartz of Breslov, Rabbi Meir Shalom Rabinowitz, Rabbi Noach of Hordeshitz, Rabbi Raphael Wechselbaum, Rabbi Yecheskel Hashtuk, known as the Atstrobzer Rebbe, Rabbi Shabtai Yogil, Rabbi Abraham Abba Lefer, Rabbi Natan Sternsertz, and the Admor, Abraham Abba Lefer from Pittsburgh Ashot. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's handout is available on the Hashem website. In the unique astrological times or events link that appears underneath the two pictures on the right of all of the pages on the Hashem website. When you open up that link of the unique astrological events, scroll down below the Hanukkah where it says Shovavim. And we will be discussing and teaching about the Shovavim period, which is a little known period in the Hebrew calendar that commences a week from today, or actually from last night. And we will explain exactly what Shovavim means and how the acronym Shovavim comes about. the Kabbalists reveal that the six-week period that begins with the Parasha of Shemot and ends with the Parasha of Mishpatim is a period of potential teshuvah for any errors created by us in the Sefirah of Yesod. And Yesod is sexual. Yesod connects to the sexual organs in the human body. But Yesod is a funnel that brings all of the different Sefirot into our world and takes all of our requests back up into the spiritual levels. Joseph HaSadiq, which we spent the last few weeks reading about in the Torah, is a chariot for Yesod, because he was the second in command in Egypt, and literally was a funnel for all of the wealth of the world, which had been coming into Egypt because it was the only place where the famine didn't exist in the known world of that time. So all of the wealth of the world flowed into Egypt, and Jacob handled that wealth and manifested it in the Egyptian people and in the Egyptian pharaoh. The Sefirah of Yesod is not only sexual energy, but it's also the energy of creativity and creation. And we are in this world to be a co-creator with Hashem. So whenever in previous lifetimes or this lifetime we've made mistakes in these two areas, which are really the same area, sexuality and creativity, this is a six-week period to do teshuvah. And the Kabbalists have given us certain rituals to perform that we will explain as we go on. The word Shovavim is an acronym for the six parashiot, the six parashas of the period of Shovavim. And it starts with Shemot, which is where the Shin comes from. The second is Vayera, which is where the Vav comes from. And then is Bo, with a Bet. And Beshalach, with a second Bet. And then Yitro, with a Yud, and then Mem from Mishpatim. When you put these letters together, it spells the word Shovavim. Shovavim is a Hebrew word that translates as a mischievous child. I ask you to contemplate, why would the Kabbalists use this acronym for this particular period of time? It usually starts in the middle of Capricorn and ends before the month of Adar. The more you learn about these months, which is Capricorn and Shvat, and the more you learn about these parashiot, it will help you achieve the tikkun connected to this period. We will speak more of this below. In the Tanakh, Shovavim is written twice. Both times it is in Jeremiah chapter 3, once in verse 14 and once in verse 22. Both times it is being translated as faithless, yet has the connotation of a mischievous child. This is a child that is making mistakes. A child who is pushing the limits of his parents' patience, and a child who is acting in a faithless manner, not listening to the teachings of his parents. Does this remind you of anybody? Of course, it's every human being in one sense or another. During leap years, we add two additional weeks, and they are the parashah of Terumah and Tetzaveh. The acronym TAT, the two Tavs, occurs 14 times in the Tanakh and has 8 different meanings, which essentially relates to sharing. Thus, this year is not a leap year, so we're only doing 6 weeks. Shovavim itself has a gematria of 360. Is the gematria of the letter Shin when fully spelled out. Shin Yud Nun. This indicates the idea of the passion being acted out by the mischievous child. Other words that have this gematria are Hashana, which translates as the year. The name of the city of Chem, which is where Joseph HaSadiq is buried. The phrase Kobi Boker, meaning morning stars. The name of God dealing with healing. Mem He Shin, when we add the upper world, Yud He to it, has a gematria of 360. All of these gematriot are teaching us that when we do teshuvah for creative and sexual improprieties, we are creating healing. Please mute your phone because I'm getting some background noise. In the parasha of Kiddushin, the Zohar gives us some information about Shavuot. Come and see, when a person is in one union, male and female, and aims to sanctify himself properly, then he is perfect and is considered one without defect. For this reason, man needs to bring joy to his wife at that time, at the time of marital relations, to prepare her with him with one desire, so she does not feel forced. Both should ready themselves to that matter. I need to mute the phones because of the static. Feel free to unmute yourself by pressing *6 and you'll be able to be heard. And please feel free to ask any questions as we go along. When both are together, then everything is one in body and one in soul. In soul, to cling to each other in one wish, in one body. As we learn that a man who does not marry is not complete. He's like he is only half a soul. When they join male and female, they become one body. Thus, they are one soul, one body, and man is then one. One male and female in unity. Then the Holy One, blessed be He, dwells in the one, and deposits a Holy Spirit in that one. Meaning there flows a Holy Spirit in the fetus, which is conceived from the married couple. These are called children of the Holy One, blessed be He. As we learned above, and for this reason you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. Fortunate are Israel, for not placing this thing elsewhere, but only to him, as it is written, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. For only the Holy One, blessed be He, is truly called holy, that his children are to cling to him only, and to no other. Hence you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. This Zohar helps to set the tone for this period of the Shovavim. And here is an essay from Rabbi Bar Sadak on the subject of Shovavim. Tikkun Shovavim, the correction of Shovavim. Shovavim is the Hebrew term for mischief makers. Fittingly, the word is also an acronym for the six weekly Torah portions, Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Beshalach, Yitro, and Mishpatim. The reading of these portions fall within the two Hebrew months of Tevet and Shvat. This period is considered auspicious for fasting and the rectification of the sins of character weaknesses, most notably sexual sins. And I will remind people that the Baal Shem Tov teaches that our generations, his generations and afterwards, are considered weak generations, too weak to fast. And it's recommended that people give tzedakah in multiples of a particular number. Like 360 being the gematria of Shovavim, but that can be 360 pennies or multiples of $3.60 or $36 as the idea of 10 times different multiples of that amount. It's a good idea to give tzedakah. There, as we will go on, we'll go through some other tzedakah items and things to do during these six-week period. There are many different types of traditions associated with these 6 weeks, yet they are all for similar purposes, and this being teshuvah and tikkun. The general sin which almost everyone is guilty of is one form or another of sexual impropriety. This can mean forbidden relations or behaviors on one's own part, or even the mere thoughts that we allow ourselves to think. Our sages, and especially the masters of the Kabbalah, emphasize that sexual blemishes are the greatest stains upon the soul and serve to create the great distance between our Creator and ourselves. And I am adding, this period of Shovavim is a good period to do teshuvah for sexual mistakes. It also needs to be done during the period of Elul as well. Yet it is never enough just to proclaim our remorse or desire to repent. A change of attitude must accompany our statements of remorse. Repentance must be taken to heart and acted upon with true sincerity, not just filed away as a mere academic performance. Honest change in one's internal character only comes about when one first changes one's external behavior. Change seldom arises independently from within. We must often help it along. We are admonished by Rabbi Meir in the Pirkei Avot to do the right thing even for the wrong reasons. For in the end, doing the right thing even for the wrong reasons will transform us internally to do the right thing for the right reasons. The actions change the attitude, not the other way around. As important as it is for one to change one's behavior, changing attitudes is most important. Even when we are doing the right things, we must still look deep within ourselves to address our improper thoughts, our attitude, and desires. Comprehensively changing what one does, one can only come about through a cultivation and expression of inner strength. discipline and moral character, remorse and apologies mean nothing as long as one continues to repeat the offensive behavior. Shogavim is a time for us to not only change undesirable behavior, but also to reflect within one's heart about the reasons why one has chosen wanton ways and what one can do to better oneself, to no longer weakly choose to embrace foolish choices. My commentary. Note the hint to binding by striking, which we are going to review in our next class at 2 o'clock West Coast time, when we will have a review of our basic class 5, binding by striking. It's hinted at in Rabbi Bar Sadok's previous paragraphs, and it is a tool that is very important to utilize during this six-week period. When we have the internal conversation as part of stopping our reactions, we learn what aspect of our internal nature we want to change. Also, the more one attempts to make change, the more one is likely to achieve that change. Teshuvah means to turn away from one's wanton behavior and to choose what is good. Tikkun takes this one step further. Tikkun means to repair and correct, which leads towards completion and perfection. It is not enough that one no longer creates further damage. One must also make repair of the damage that one has already caused. This is the meaning of taking responsibility for one's actions. Only when one does what needs to be done to make repairs for what one has broken, can it be said that one indeed has turned from their former ways and has made teshuvah in a complete way? Rectification of sexual blemishes must be accomplished in two different ways. First, one must repair the spiritual damage caused by one's deeds. This is done by reciting certain prayers, meditation, and by fasting. The second, yet primary method of rectification is that one must address one's personal weaknesses and character flaws that led one to stumble into the forbidden behavior in the first place. Unless one learns strength of character and addresses the heart of the problem within oneself, no amount of spiritual work will make tikkun and allow one to avoid reincarnation. To state it simply, unless one can first rectify the source of blemish within one's character, the results of these blemishes in both the physical and spiritual world cannot be rectified and wiped clean. Let no one misunderstand this. Our entire Torah is based upon this principle. Please excuse me for a second. Concerning traditional observances of this period, one of the most popular is the observance of fasting. Torah tradition defines a fast as total abstinence from any and all food and drink, including water, from the moment of dawn, when the rays of the sun are first seen on the horizon, until dusk, when the last rays of the sun fall below the horizon. During these winter months, when the days are short, such a fast day may only last for 10 or so hours. As such, a fast of such brevity is relatively easy for most, and therefore can be observed by many. Now, this is different than the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, indicating that we are too weak to fast. While abstaining from food and drink is one way of showing one's remorse for wanton behavior, the fast also serves another more spiritual purpose. The burning of body fat is considered an offering of oneself to God. Thus, the concept of fasting as being an offering to God has more than just symbolic meaning. What was offered as a sacrifice in the ancient temple altar was the fat and blood of the animal. When we fast, our bodies are still naturally burning calories. There is no intake of food to replenish what is burned up. And as is medically known, what is burned up first is usually the fat. Therefore, by fasting, the natural fire of one's body burns one's fat and also blood along with it. One's fasting, therefore, is not just a symbolical action, but an actual offering of fat and blood, just as it was on the ancient altar. During the six-week period, the tradition has developed to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, the days when the Torah is read in the synagogue. Fasting is not acceptable on the Shabbat. Therefore, for the 6 weeks, for 2 days each week, for a total of 12 days, one will fast from dawn until dusk, as described above. Yet the mere abstinence from food and drink is not enough. The fast must be focused and performed as a means of mini atonement for one's blemishes. This focus is brought about through the special prayers and meditations performed on these days. We are not recommending that people fast, but we are recommending that one does additional Zohar study within these 6 weeks, and especially the reading of the Parasha of Mishpatim, which is the source of much of our knowledge of reincarnation. There are a number of special Shovavim prayer books available that have a full array of prayers. And this is neither the time nor the place to enumerate these practices. Please contact your local Jewish bookseller if you are interested in acquiring a copy. And to my knowledge, none of these have been translated into English. During this period, there is also observed a special type of fast, which we do recommend. It is called a Ta'anit Dibur. We'll explain it, but that means a fast of words. It's a fast from speaking anything that isn't Torah, isn't words of Torah. So saying good morning would be for God, and other forms of our normal everyday conversation. The fast of Ta'anit Dibur is usually done on Shabbat. And one will find it very difficult. It is not an easy task to take upon oneself. But it is very effective in doing your teshuvah on these sexual and creative issues. The day is passed not speaking, but doing something that is considered to be a very powerful spiritual tool for rectifying one's sins. Usually observed on a Shabbat after the morning prayers and breakfast, sometimes the entire congregation gathers in the synagogue to perform this special tikkun. The special tikkun of the Tanaim Dibur is a recitation of the entire book of Psalms, all 150 of them, three times, for a total reading of 450 Psalms. And if one chooses to add the first eight Psalms a fourth time for the 458 Psalms, one will find that a good segula, good fixing, protecting of the relationship that you are in. And eventually, if you're single, it's a good practice to do in order to attract your soulmate. The entire congregation reads all of the Psalms. They are not divided up. This reading at an average pace will take almost 10 hours, and this takes up the entire day. The readings begin after breakfast and should end in time for afternoon mincha prayers. In the traditional Shovavim prayer books, there are also additional prayers recited, both before and after the reading, centered on the matters of the day. The months of Tevet and Shabbat, when Shovavim occur, are said to be astrological times of difficulty for the Jewish people. In general, these months are a type of astrological Murphy's Law period, meaning that if there is a given opportunity for something to go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible time. This does not mean in any way that things are destined to go wrong during this time, and that we have no control over matters. Those with knowledge of true astrology, as defined by Torah, know that astrological influences only reveal potentials, but can never predict anything actual. Anyone using astrology to generate predictions violates the Torah commands of idolatry. Nothing is set and definite in life other than the will of Hashem. Tevet and Shabbat exert a negative astrological influence, but this force of negativity can only become manifest if and when one's reckless behavior creates a doorway for it to materialize. If we act in ways that violate the Holy Torah, we create the opportunity for negative things to manifest in the worst of ways, and in this most negative of times. Therefore, if something bad happens now, it is not enough. Heaven ordained it so. It's not enough because heaven ordained it so, but rather because we were not careful enough to have avoided its coming. In conclusion, how one chooses to observe the days of Shovavim is entirely up to the individual. There are absolutely no halakhic requirements there herein, other than the perennial mitzvah of teshuvah. Although one is not necessarily obligated to observe the traditions of this time, it is still a wise, meritorious, and spiritually helpful thing to do. One should consult with one's local rav for specific information, and details what you as an individual can do and what your community as a whole can do. If your Rav is not Sephardi or is not educated in the traditional Sephardi ways, he may not be familiar with all the Shavuvim traditions. Do not let him off the hook or tell you not to pay attention to Shavuvim traditions. Shavuvim traditions are not observed exclusively by Sephardim. A number of Chassadim also are aware of the importance of these days and guard them wisely. Make your local Rav do his homework and direct you and your congregation in the ways of public communal Shavuvim Teshuvah. In this way, we all draw together as a body, and we assist one another in change. Most important, we bring tikkun to ourselves and to the community at large, and help bring the coming of Mashiach even closer. And may we all say amen. Whether or not your community will adopt the Shavuvim traditions, you as an individual should. Whether or not one can fast depends on many factors. Just remember the fast is a means to an end, and not an end unto itself. A fast is supposed to assist us in focusing on the important factors within ourselves that need to be addressed and changed. One can do this without fasting. From a Kabbalistic point of view, fasting certainly helps refine the soul and atones for one's sins. One who is able to conduct one's daily affairs regularly while fasting should do so. Yet while fasting brings teshuvah, tikkun or correction is only achieved by change, real change of behavior, and real internal change of attitude. During these days of Shavuvim, focus on change. The next section on the handout was referring to Shavuvim in 5775, which is the year of the removal of death, swallowing of death. Fasting and charity in the relationships. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that our generation is considered a weak generation. A weak generation is unable to fast extensively. It is okay for an individual to perform the 5 prescribed fasts during the year, which are the fast of Gedalia, Yom Kippur, the fast on the 10th of Tevet, the fast of Esther, and the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, and also the fast of Tisha B'Av. Other fasts are voluntary, and it is best in a weak generation to give tzedakah, or tithing, for each day that one would fast. If you decide to fast during this period, it is important to realize that your fast must be announced the afternoon prior to the fast. This is done by making a statement out loud to the universe. Tomorrow I will fast from sunrise to sunset. This fast will include having no drink or food during this period. As your teacher, I'm recommending you not fast, but employ other methods, like giving tzedakah or giving tithing, as mentioned earlier, on multiples of $3.60 or 360 pennies or nickels or dimes or quarters, whatever is comfortable for your financial situation. and also to expand your study of the Zohar, perhaps an additional hour those days. Perhaps a fast of words where you only speak words of Torah, whether they be the Zohar or the Psalms or the Proverbs, whatever you choose to be saying that has meaning for you. And those fasts need to be announced the afternoon before, even if they're a fast of words. There's a section of how much to give per day. In the sefers that Rabbi Bar Sadok mentioned above, it talks about how many coins to give as atonement, as tzedakah, tithing, but essentially atonement for the mistakes that one has made as part of your teshuvah. But I'm not going to go through all of those different items. You can read the handout. There's a few that are mentioned. But I think the most important is to study the words of Torah. There are yichudim and meditations and other corrections to perform as well. Some sages and Kabbalists teach that performing Yehudim and Hebrew letter meditations will enhance our connection to the Shovavim period and help to provide the correction that we need. Recently, I gave two classes on the candle or the light Yehudim. There are many other Yehudim. One of the most beneficial one is to take your name in Hebrew letters and intertwine it with the Hebrew word for certainty, which is Vadai, Vav, Dalet, Aleph, Yud. If one does that meditation, you are bringing the energy of certainty into your soul. It's a very powerful meditation. There is also the meditation of Ani. Ani is the Hebrew word for I, to be intertwined with the name Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. There are other meditations found on the Hashem website. So in conclusion, the period of Shovavim is correcting the creative and sexual mistakes which occur only because we act as a mischievous child, a child not listening to his or her parent, running after what we want, immediate gratification, like a small child, a mischievous child. That's the end of the handout, the end of our class. I'm going to unmute the phone so that you may ask questions.
You know, the 5 o'clock class is the same lecture.
Are there any questions? Any questions?
Will 5 o'clock class be the same lecture?
Say again?
Will the 5 o'clock class be the same as...
No, it's a totally different lecture. It will be explaining what is binding by striking in detail. It's a totally different lecture.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? The classes this coming week. Today at 2 o'clock West Coast time is a review for most of us, but it's a basic class 5, which is binding by striking. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4:30 West Coast time is a mini Zohar class. 7 o'clock Monday will be an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. 7 o'clock Tuesday, the class is a Tikkuni Zohar class. 7 o'clock Wednesday is our question and answer period. Thursday, the 4:30 class, will be an advanced reincarnation class. And at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class on the Parasha of Vayechi. Saturday at 6 p.m. West Coast time will be Havdalah and third meal in Havdalah, a healing period. And at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class for the Parasha of Shemot and the beginning of the Chovavim period. I wish you all a beautiful week and hope to hear from you during the week if you were planning to do any actions of Chovavim, and I can assist you in determining what is appropriate for you. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.